Thanks for tuning in for the Book Club at 91.7 on this Saturday morning. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along. On the phone with me is Meredith Marin, who has put together the book called Why We Write About Ourselves, 20 Memoirists on Why They Expose Themselves and Others in the Name of Literature. A fascinating look at the art of the memoir from people like Kelly Corrigan and Pearl Clage and Anne Lamott and so many others. But we'll let the lady tell you all about it. Meredith, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Hi, Mark.
I want to begin by asking what motivated you to put together this collection, because as before we went on the air, as I said, this is just ripe with advice for writers and readers alike. What sparked Why We Write About Ourselves?
Well, pure self-interest. I've written a bunch of memoirs myself and have learned a few things the hard way and along the way, and I am actually writing yet another one now, and I decided that I wanted to get the opinions of some people who have made it work, at least on the commercial level, and see what was behind the story. You know, it's kind of, this book is kind of the making of the movie kind of a book, because a lot of the people I talk to are people whose work we know and have read, and maybe have scratched our heads and said, how did they get away with saying that about their husbands, their wives, their mothers, et cetera. So I wanted to know if they'd had any of the experiences that I've had as a memoirist behind the scenes and how they coped.
Now, did you send them a series of questions or just ask them to discuss writing memoirs?
Well, most of the interviews were done either in person or on the phone. There were a couple of people who I couldn't have a phone call with or a meeting with, so they sent me, you know, we went back and forth on email. But the core of the people in the book are friends of mine and colleagues from my own writing career over the years. So these are things that all memoirists discuss, you know, when we're hiking, when we're out drinking, when we're bemoaning the latest person who's suing us, you know. So I kind of knew some of the backstories or the outlines of some of the backstories of the writers I included. Kelly Corrigan lives in my neighborhood. Danny Shapiro is a friend. Anne Lamott is a friend. Ayelet Waldman, I was the godmother of her children, so I had heard the stories of woe when she went public with some things about her family and so on. So it was, the first few interviews I did were in person or on the phone, but very intimate. I think it really helped that you know, we knew each other and that I knew the backstory.
Well, and you include a lot of the backstory. There's an introduction for each of the essays. And that includes not only, you know, your thoughts about that particular writer, but it also you give them the vitals and their collected works, give us, the readers, a little more information. Why did you feel that was important to include here?
Because there's a lot of mythology about writers in general. I remember when I was first publishing books and magazine articles and newspaper articles, my book was reviewed in the local paper and my kids went to school and their classmates were saying, your mom is rich. Your mom is famous. And, you know, just because I had my name in print. And I realized that I too, when I think about really well-known writers like Cheryl Strayed, who wrote Wild, or Edwidge Danticat, I think, oh my God, their lives must be so amazing. They must just lie around being waited on and, you know, coming up with an idea a day and turning it into beautiful prose. And I figured if I could make those kinds of flights of imagination and envy, that readers must do that even more. So I wanted to know, you know, do they make a living on their writing? Did they go to college? Do they have kids? You know, all the things that tend to affect the actual day-to-day lives of writers in general.
I'm speaking with Meredith Marin, who has edited the collection Why We Write About Ourselves, 20 memoirists on why they expose themselves and others in the name of literature. Details about the book at wvxu.org. And Edwidge Dedicat, I love some of the things in that essay, including the one in 2007, I published a memoir called Brother, I'm Dying. The book just walked up to me and knocked me over the head and demanded to be written. And you hear that often in some of these essays. Yes. I just had that story and I had to tell it.
Exactly. Several of the people in the book actually not only didn't want to write a memoir, but they hate memoirs. They never, you know, they don't read them. They don't believe in them. They think they're terrible. I'm thinking particular of A.M. Holmes, who wrote a memoir called The Mistress's Daughter. And she's a novelist and short story writer, otherwise very well regarded. And in her 30s, she found out that her family was not what she had believed it to be, and I won't go into details unless you read her book, but she said that she wrote the memoir as much to be able to put the story away. She said it's sort of that writing the book about what she discovered was like putting it in a container, and then she could put the container away. She said writing it were the worst years of her life. It was the most difficult thing she'd ever done as a writer, and very painful. And then when it was done, she said that she actually was able to sort of get over it more easily because she had got delved so deeply into it. And some of us do that in therapy or, you know, having a breakdown or eating too much Ben and Jerry's. But, you know, when you're a writer, I think, and you're handed a story, it's almost impossible to turn away.
I love how many of the folks who contributed to the book here talked about truth and telling the truth when it comes to memoirs, but many were very careful to delineate truth and say, well, this is my truth. I'm writing my truth, not what your truth might be. And that is something that that almost every one of them says something about, that truth question.
Yes. And I'm sure you noticed there are different opinions on the subject. Who knew you could have different opinions about the truth?
Right.
although with the current electoral campaign, I'm sure we all now know that that's possible. but there are actually different philosophies among the different memoirists about what constitutes truth. And as you mentioned, some people say, you know, my truth is my truth, and these are the people I refer to as the hardcore memoirists who say, if you don't like my version of the truth, write your own book. or as Anne Lamott says, if you didn't want to be written about, you should have behaved better. And then there are the wimps like me who are very eager to show the pages to the people I'm writing about and make sure they're okay with them and, you know, like that. And I try to sort of come to a consensus about what the shared truth is while asserting my own emotional truth, because that is the reason I'm writing the book.
I have to say I was amused at how many times the writers here and Why We Write About Ourselves talked about trying to avoid controversy in their families, but it seems that they always were able to offend or make someone angry, despite no matter how careful they were.
Yeah, right. As I say in the introduction, there's really, if you want to destroy your own life and those of others, there's really no more surefire method than writing the truth according to you. and that's a lot what happens. I mean, it happens in life, and I think most of the things we're saying about memoir are also true about living. If you take a family gathering around the Thanksgiving table and someone says, remember the time Uncle Joe such and such, if there are 15 people at the table, there will be 15 versions of what happened and 15 reactions to what happened. So a memoirist does what all of us do all the time. It's just that we put it in print, which is a pretty big difference.
Yeah, indeed. I'm speaking with Meredith Marin, who edited the collection Why We Write About Ourselves, 20 memoirists on why they expose themselves and others in the name of literature, available where books are sold. And you can learn more at wvxu.org. And Meredith, I wanted to ask, I saw that truth thread that ran through these essays. I was curious as to what other threads that you sensed in talking to these memoirists.
Well, as we were just discussing, one of the things that divides these memoirists into the hard asses and the wimps is how they feel about taboo subjects. Some, like Pat Conroy, who unfortunately passed away recently, says, "So in the choice between the written about and the writing, I'll always choose the writing." And he told me that for every person who is hurt by something he writes, a family member, a friend, a colleague, there are hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people who will be helped by what he writes. And he felt very strongly that it was almost like a simple numbers game. And he suffered great losses as a result of writing about his abusive father. He unfortunately died without resolving his relationship with his sister, who stopped speaking to him because of one of his books, and so on. So that was his philosophy, and he paid the price for it. And others, like Edwige Danticat says, "I'd rather have a family than a book." Mm-hmm. So that was another one of the themes, was where people fall on that spectrum.
And also about criticism, because I loved what Edwidge said about criticism, that it's easier to accept public criticism when they're talking about a fiction book, but when it's a memoir, they're not talking about just a book, they're talking about your life.
Exactly. And in the memoirs that I've published, when I look at the reviews, the very first memoir I published is called What It's Like to Live Now, and it was in 1995. And my publisher was so excited because I got a full page review on page 3 of the New York Times Book Review. And all he wrote about was me and how horrible a person I was. And it made my ex-husband really happy. But other than that, it wasn't really a review of the book. And I was so appalled. And, of course, my editor was perfectly happy because page 3 of the New York Times Book Review. And it said nice things about the book. But I really thought that someone had paid my ex-husband to assume a pseudonym and write a review of me. So it is one of the problems. You know, when you read a novel, when you read even a journalistic book, an expose of fast food, say, people might critique the journalist's methodology or their writing style, but they'll never talk about what kind of person the journalist is. And with memoir, of course, you're really wide open to that.
As I was reading this, and I commented on this a little earlier, how there's wonderful advice for writers in here, but I feel there's equal advice for readers. I'm curious what you hope someone reading Why We Write About Ourselves will take away from these essays.
Anyone who's read any of my work knows that I'm obsessed with the question of truth. And I say it's a question because it remains a question for me. I actually wrote sort of hybrid memoir journalism book about the mass hysteria around sexual abuse in the 80s called My Lie, A True Story of False Memory. And in that book, I talked about having falsely accused my father of sexually abusing me when I was a child. And what I wanted people to take away from that book is the same thing I want them to take away from this book or any of my books, really, for them to look at their own lives and consider how closely they are aligned with their own truth and with reality. So that's when I think about readers reading Why We Write About Ourselves, I think of a reader putting the book down and looking at his or her own life and just considering, is my version of the truth being used for good or for harm? Does it need to be reevaluated? Because one of the things I think, again, with the presidential campaign really brings this to the fore, that we get very invested in our version of the story, of the truth, and we identify ourselves completely with that story. And oftentimes, the story might be false or flawed. And also, no one is just one thing or the other thing. And as I've aged, I've seen the wisdom in looking for nuance in truth, not just black and white.
Well, in the final moments we have together here, Meredith, I want to ask you as a memoirist what you learned from putting together Why We Write About Ourselves. What did you take away from what all these folks said?
Well, personally and professionally, I, you know, as I said, I was writing my own memoir as I was doing these interviews, and I'm just finishing it up now. And one thing that really helped me was being inspired to think about these questions. One of the themes that emerged from the book was I. Elliott Waldman was saying, this isn't a diary. This is a work of art. You know, you're not just writing this happened and then this happened and I felt this way about it and this way. You're putting together a crafted, you know, whole book. And you get to say and talk about what you want to talk about within those pages. It's not just because something happened doesn't mean that you have to include it in your memoir. And conversely, just because you don't, you know, feel like putting something in the book doesn't mean it has to be in there. So it really affected what I'm doing with my memoir. For example, my family has really had enough of being written about, and they're very clear about that. And I decided that I could, in fact, write a whole book about a recent phase in my life and not include them because really they weren't a very big part of it. And there were much more important things that I had to look at. So I set myself that challenge, and it actually was helpful in a bigger way than just with the book. It actually helped me to understand my own agency and my own responsibilities for my life. And instead of constantly referring everything back to, you know, my mother did this, so now I'm stuck on this path. It's much more, at my age, I'm in my 60s, much more about deciding how I want my life and myself to be and then pursuing it.
Well, Meredith, thank you for all the food for thought that are contained in these essays.
Thank you so much for having a great conversation with me about it.
Meredith Marin, her book is Why We Write About Ourselves, 20 Memoirists on Why They Expose Themselves and Others in the Name of Literature. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. The Book Club at 91.7.